You got a particular task. It's better if you apply the proper tools to that task. You don't use a sledgehammer to chop down a tree. You don't use a hammer to drive a screw into the wall. We're going to talk about that in detail this week on Podcast Dojo, episode number 34.
Master the art of the podcast. It's
Podcast Dojo!
Hey there, everybody. Hello, and welcome to Podcast Dojo, the show that inspires those wanting to start a podcast to grab a mic and start recording, those that are already recording to master their niche and to help the podcasting community grow as podcasting grows more and more popular each and every day. I'm your host, Brian, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to sit down and have a listen. And today we're going to be talking about using the proper tools for a particular task. And I'll get into the story as to, behind that also. And then also got some listener feedback and a question, and we're going to talk about that. So let's get everything started and let's get everything going on down the road. To start off with, we're going to talk about the task. During the week after recording, I start, you know, looking for episode or information or topics for the next episode. And as I was looking around, a lot of times I'll just search on the internet for different topics. And well, I was looking at, working on hosting for the hosting shootout. I'm still working on it, still trying to grab information. It's a lot more extensive than what I thought it was going to be, so it's taken a lot longer than I anticipated. I figured, heck, I'd get everything together, throw everything up, and yet, no, there's more to it than that. So, a little side update on the podcast hosting shootout. But I came across this one article by a gentleman that said, how to host your podcast episodes on Google Drive. And I was like, oh, really? There's still people trying to push being able to podcast or host your podcast on Google Drive. That's no, you don't want to do that. Oh my gosh. And so I went over there and read it. And I mean, yeah, okay. It definitely tells you how, and but none of the dangers of it. And I jumped in there and thinking, oh, I've got to tell that this guy's just leading people wrong. And so I jumped in both feet for looking and just started firing off. Blam, blam, blam. I was going to, blah, you know, just going to take care of this. I was going to get this guy straightened out one way or another. And I was telling him, you know, it's against the terms of service. You can't do that. It doesn't work right. You don't have a variable bit, yada, 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 and all that. And the gentleman very graciously replied, is like, well, where do you see that at? And I was like, oh, well, he wants to know. I'm going to give it to him. I went ahead and I started looking, and I got pulled up and started doing searches, and I came across a support.google.com that says, yeah, they host HTML files and CSS files just fine on Google Drive. I was like, oh, ooh, whoa. Well, that answers that question. If you can host web files on there, and got to look, and then obviously you can't host your website on there, because they'll only allow HTML, CSS, and JavaScript files. And the reason that they only allow those is because they don't have it set up to where it, server-side scripting would work. So you can't use PHP and MySQL together on your Google Drive. It's only stuff that's not going to take all that much in the way of server power to throw it over towards your listener's computer or whoever happens to visit that particular website. If you wanted to write a website out in HTML and just throw it up on there and share it on a folder, and you know, by the looks of it, have at it. It apparently it will work just fine. And I was flabbergasted. I was like, holy wow. Well, I guess if you're allowed to do that, to look through, couldn't really find anything terms of service wise about whether you could or you couldn't. But at the same time, they allow hosting of files. And so, I guess you can post your domain or your MP3 files on there. And I was like, oh crud. Well, something's changed here recently. Well, they don't have byte range requests. They're not going to allow that. And that, if you don't have a byte range request, iTunes ain't even going to let you in the door. And so I went ahead and I did a search. I uploaded a file, shared it, and went to try to use it. And yeah, they allow byte range requests through Google Drive also. I was like, oh, Google's been changing stuff. Well, that's not good. And so I had to go back onto the site with my egg on my face because I was being an idiot that I was and didn't do my research beforehand and realized that, you know, you can actually host your files to a point on there. Now, you had to follow the guy's directions because what he ended up doing is he ended up actually creating there was a Google script, and you had to go to googlescript.com or script.google.com. Anyhow, you had to go to a particular Google website that had a particular Google script that they were hosting that you could use, and you could then take your file, and you had to follow this particular steps because what you did is you clicked on one link, and what it did is it created a podcast with a 7-numbered string number on the end of it. And then after you clicked on podcast, once you did that, it then asked you to upload an MP3 file. You upload your MP3 file. And then once that's finished uploading, you would go back to the script and it would tell you, hey, this is going to be here's the direct link to the actual MP3 file. And it would give you a googledrive.com/ blah, 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 a big old long string of numbers /something/ your name of your file .mp3. So you could use that and you can use that, all that up to the .mp3 and it would be up to the file name .mp3. Each time. So you could just throw everything back in there and still be able to get it. The problem is, obviously, you can't just keep your, it's kind of tough to remember this 30 mile long URL. So it becomes a really convoluted problem. It gets to be really difficult. And so it's the steps that it takes are really tough. And especially if you go to the guy's site, and I've got a link on over at podcastdojo.com/034. And you can look at the comments, and a lot of the comments are, hey, this works great up to step, you know, whatever. Oh, this art works awesome up to whatever. And he's got a whole bunch of other issues that this guy's constantly having to troubleshoot. And that was where the bright idea came. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, you can do this. You can actually host your MP3 files on Google Drive. Do you really want to do something like that? That is, by the looks of these folks, it's a lot of work. And there's that old saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Now, a lot of people take that as it's going to cost you something. And that's absolutely correct. It's always going to cost you something, somewhere, sometime, somehow. Even getting that free ebook cost you your email address. It cost you time on your looking, getting to inbox zero if you happen to be aiming at doing that. So you have a, it cost you. For hosting on Google, well, that's going to cost you too. That's going to cost a price that might actually even cost you your audience. Because if Google all of a sudden says, you know what? Yeah, we're not going to, there's a lot of people doing this and this is eating up a lot of resources and we're just not making any money off of it. So we're not going to allow HTML and MP3 file, or we'll allow HTML files, CSS and JavaScript, but MP3s, no, we're not going to allow that because we've got too many people putting out pirated music or pirated software. And so we're not going to allow that anymore. And instantly you spent, say you've gotten 30, 40 episodes out there. All of a sudden, boom, it's gone. If you've got your website on, say, Blogger or something like that, then they're not getting redirected to the files. Now, and another problem that, and the reason, okay, here's some of the problems that you're going to have on doing it the way this gentleman has described it. One, multiple steps. Instead of just taking a file, uploading it, getting the download link, putting it into your PowerPress, calling it, verifying it, calling it good, and publishing it. Now you've got to go through, you got to go up here. Did I remember what it was? No. All right. Well, then we're going to have to start from scratch. And now we've got another folder that we have to remember to put things into. And that's going to be this name. And so we have to double check. And there's about four steps you have to take just to get the name or the URL link to the direct file. Because if you don't, and you just say you just throw something up into a shared folder on Google Drive, it's going to come out as a slash and a dynamic URL. It's with no .mp3 or anything. So you try to take that and you put it into PowerPress, it's going to come back at you with a, there's nothing here. I can't use this. This does nothing for me. Type of answer. A little more pleasant than that, but still, it honestly flat out doesn't work unless you have a direct link. And so you have to make sure you've got the direct link. And like I said, there's a extra step in there. If all of a sudden Google says, yeah, that link's not going to work anymore. Maybe it only works for 30 days. Cause a lot of people were sitting there saying, well, it worked good for about 30 days. And all of a sudden it stopped. So Google's playing with stuff. It's a lot like with Google Hangouts Live. You're always hearing them. Well, Google's playing with stuff again. We don't know what they're doing. Things are always changing every time we come in here. Well, that's kind of the way it is. I'm finding out with Google Drive. Go in there and I throw a bunch of files up on there. A lot of documents and slides and things like that. But I've never actually tried sharing them. But looking at the responses from people on this gentleman's blog post, the comments and stuff, Google's always messing with stuff. And so there's people, and I was looking at some of their stuff. And I mean, it's like churches and things like that. I can understand. Yeah. You got to try to be cut corners, but eventually you get to the point where you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, and it's an unsustainable model. Because you're hoping every time you upload something, you're crossing fingers going, dude, oh my gosh, I hope this works this time. Yes. Or if not, it's like, crap, what am I going to do? And I see a lot of people saying, well, I'm going to go do this over on Dropbox. No, don't do it over on Dropbox. It's just Dropbox has actually even got terminology in their terms of service that says, hey, if you cause a lot of strain on our services, guess what? We're shutting down. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You're just, it's gone. adios, not there. And that's something else you don't want for your, because that's going to cost you your audience, your future audience. Because there are a lot of people, when they hear you, they're going to want to go back and say, wow, this podcast episode really, really touched me. He's got a lot of information in there, or she has got a lot of information in there. I wonder what other types of knowledge bombs they have in the previous episodes. And so they'll want to go back and guess what? Oh yeah. Well, it didn't, I've been trying to move them back and it takes such a hard and a long time to go to each episode, post and change the URL to the new one. And I just haven't gotten to it yet. And they're going to say, oh, well, apparently he's only got three episodes at a time. So I've lost all those. And you've lost fans, you've lost listeners, you've lost that opportunity that you would normally have. So you can take the time and apply it to promoting your show and helping build an audience to your show. Or you can take that time and you can apply it to finding a solution to the free problem that you're running into. Sorry. Blind dog again. She strikes once more. So, but anyhow, I don't even remember where I was. I was trying to get everything stopped before she started whimpering too loud. But, anyhow, there's, you can, the, depending on how much you want to, pay, you can do Google Drive. You can do SkyDrive or Skybox or whatever Microsoft solution is. You can do Dropbox, but you're playing with a kind of a loaded deck. And eventually the piper, to mix idioms around, is going to come in and he's going to ask for his share of the pot. And if you're not ready for it, it's going to cost, and it's going to cost a lot more than what you actually are wanting to pay. So I definitely recommend, though it does cost money, use a paid service. Use Libsyn, use Blueberry. They're very affordable. Yeah, they cost you some money, especially right now. I mean, heck, I haven't done hauled sand in over a week now. Starting to get a little nervous. Things are getting a little skinny all of a sudden. And I don't know what I'm fixing to have to do. I don't know if things are going to pick up again tomorrow or they're going to pick up 3 months from now. I can't sit on my duff for 3 months. So it's all completely, I mean, I understand wanting to try to do stuff for free. Not very recommended, though. I mean, right now I'm still playing around with archive.org. Fixing that, I'm actually going to have to change, because here they, within the last couple, 3 months, have swapped around to where now anytime you upload a file, they change it to where it's a variable bit rate. Yeah, because it's, and I understand why, because it takes up less space. It's a smaller file than a constant bit rate. But because their choice, I am actually limiting some podcast listeners who may have an older, like an iRiver or something that won't play a variable bit rate sound, or VBR sometimes confuses some of the flash players. And so you get a wrong number on the countdown. And so it used to, because of my choice to use Archive, I'm now basically charging my loyal listener. I may be sending the bill your direction in inconvenience, which again, in turn, costs me a listener. So it's, you have to weigh the cost. Is it worth trying to lose your listener, all your back catalog, because Google all of a sudden decided, hey, we're going to just shut this down? And don't think they won't do that. One of their most popular services, Google Reader. All of a sudden one day, oh, by the way, we're shutting this down. Got about a month and a half, and then it's gone. Luckily, there was Feedly there to pick up the pieces and made a killing. Because point note to self, mute the phone. So you want to make sure that you know what you're getting into. If you're adventurous and you don't have a problem with dealing with an issue at weird times of the day, and you want a little bit of inconsistencies are your kind of thing, then well, okay, I guess you can use it. I'm not going to recommend it though. That's using Google Drive. No, don't recommend it. Using Dropbox. No, I ain't going to recommend it. Using SkyDrive or Skybox or whatever Microsoft has. Again, no, I'm not going to recommend it. It's not a good service for what we want. We want consistency. Your audience wants that consistency. You have to have it because they will go to the place that is more consistent. Well, that's one of the reasons why people talk about, if you're going to podcast, it's a good idea. Not, don't have to, but it's a good idea to be regular. If you set your podcast to be released at 9 o'clock on Monday morning, every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, you're going to have a faster growth than someone who is doing it like me, where I release on a Monday morning, sometimes Monday afternoon, other times, sometimes a Wednesday, sometimes not for 6 months. And because of it, I have got a great fan base that has grown. Because, well, they're the fan base that is putting up with the inconsistent schedule. Because there's some folks who are thinking that, well, he's not podcasting on a regular basis. Do they actually look? Yeah, I will admit, they do actually look. I look. I pull up a podcast because there's been too many times I've sat there and pulled one up, gone, oh, yeah, that looks good, and downloaded it and subscribed and grabbed about three of them. And listened, and then after a couple of weeks go, hey, I hadn't heard a new episode from so-and-so, and I go to look, and oh, they hadn't put an episode out since 2012. Well, guess I'm not putting anything else out. It's been 3 years, and I have to remove it. And they put out great content when they did. So, can you use Google Drive? Yeah, but it's not free. And I really believe that the price for to use Google Drive as your hosting is just way, way too expensive. At least for me, because I think it costs you too much. So we also ended up having some listener feedback, which was actually really cool because I was excited. I was like, holy smoke, someone actually, you know, they wrote in. And you can write in too if you go to podcastdojo.com/contact or contact us. You can send a message, just go through the, you can do a, fill out the form at the top and click send, and I'll receive it just like, Vanessa from Zestology sent to me here recently. And there's the blind dog. She's barking again. She must've got lost. So anyhow, Vanessa asked, just curious, how do you measure analytics on your podcast? Also, do you by any chance use PodTrack FeedBurner to get iTunes stats? To give iTunes stats? It's all so confusing. And I'll agree. Trying to, especially using something like FeedBurner, because FeedBurner is just doesn't work when it comes to stats. The only thing I use FeedBurner for is as an RSS redirect. And I only have just a couple of podcasts that I still run through there. And that's just because I haven't put an episode out to those particular episodes or those particular podcasts in a good while. But they are, but to measure, to use FeedBurner as a measuring system, not a good idea. Now, I actually do kind of have a way. Now, I've been meaning to get a hold of Rob Walsh. I'd like to have him on the show sometime and have him bounce a few questions off of him as the best way to read stats, because I've got my idea on how you do it. Is it exactly correct? Honestly, I've got something that sits in the back of my head saying, yeah, it's close, but you're leaving a bunch out. And so what I basically ended up doing is, as a response to Vanessa's question, I started writing. And as often does, I kept writing and kept writing. And all of a sudden I realized, holy smokes, I've got a 1,000-word blog post going here. And I asked Vanessa, I was like, hey, is it okay if I was to share this information with you? Because I think it would help you out in understanding stats also. And Vanessa graciously said that was fine, and I appreciate it. And thank you again, Vanessa, for listening to the show. So, analytics and statistical tools. There's a lot of them out there, and I got around to talking about those. And there are different types of analytics. Okay, we have web analytics, you have your hosts analytics, and you have your media analytics, and different types of then you've got some special services out there like PodTrack, and then there's also Stitcher, and each of them has a special role, and they work in their own special way. Like I said, FeedBurner as a statistical service, not so much. I mean, it'll give you a very, very wide average of what you could be listening to, because it may swing 100, 200 a day if you've got a large audience, or it might even swing more depending on how large of an audience you have. But I started out explaining, what are web analytics? Well, web analytics is like Google Analytics. They tell you how people are getting to your site. Google has made it really difficult here recently to find out what keywords people are using. You actually have to go off and look at the web tools, pull up your webmaster tools to be able to find out what keywords are being used. And even then, that doesn't really tell you where those keywords are going. Basically, what I look at is I look at where are they landing? And the predominant number of people are actually going to my Podcatchers and Podcast Manager page to get, and find a better podcatcher out there to see if there's a better mousetrap. And a lot of them seem to be Android users who are trying stuff out. Not all. There's a lot of iOS users who hit that site also. And a lot of desktop users are looking for something like Juice or iPod or something like that, where they can Miro is another one that's a desktop based application, piece of software, so they can listen to podcasts at their desktop. Now, these do good on telling you how people are finding your site, don't do a whole lot in telling you how people are consuming your podcast, which podcast episode is more popular episode as opposed to in relation to the other episodes. And they don't tell you who's consuming what, when, where, how. But it does give you a good idea of, hey, people are looking for you because of this reason. So that's one of the reasons why I started putting out different podcatcher reviews, because that's something that people want to know. They know me. They want to know some that particular information. So that's an itch that I want to scratch. And so I try my darndest to do so. Now, there are also your web hosts analytics, things like Austats. If you go to your host web host and you go into the backstage area, usually they have stats and they have Austats listed in there. You want an ego boost? Go check out Austats, because holy smokes, all of a sudden you got 20,000 hits in an hour, and it's amazing because they talk about impressions and hits, and it's a bunch of raw data. You can look at raw data and go, holy smokes, look at that. Yeah, it may just be one person that's pulling in 150 hits because of however many different elements you have on your website. So you can get an idea. You can look and see, all right, well, I can see that this MP3 got downloaded 273 times. You don't know what downloaded it. It might have just been a bot. You don't know who downloaded it and where they got, how far they got on the listening. It just tells you, hey, someone looked at, someone hit that that particular MP3 file, and that's what. And okay, they hit it. Bravo. Doesn't tell you nothing. So, yeah, I look at all stats just to get a, just to get, if I'm feeling bad. It's like, no one's hitting my site. I'll go to the all stats and go, wow, people are coming. Yeah, I'm sure 50% of them are bots. You know, of course, not necessarily, but, you know, it's, you look at it and you're like, yeah, check that out. And then as long as you don't let reality come crashing in, it's good, because you want to know who your real listeners are, not your bots. The bots don't matter. So, and you can't really determine how many are actual listeners or how many actually just new people visiting their site and how many are just bots. And a lot of times, even with the really popular sites, more bots than not. I could be wrong, but that's from the couple times I've seen a couple of a lot more popular sites than me. It seems to be the more popular you are, the more bots come along and hit you. Now, you've got other types of hosting stats. Hosting stats can also be Blueberry, Libsyn offer magnificent statistical information. They tell you where people are listening to you from. They're letting you know that, hey, 74 people have actually downloaded this particular episode, and you just released it an hour ago. It's awesome. It'll let you know. It'll let you know in a lot of information. Now, it doesn't give you how long they listened, but you were able to, and they tried their darndest to separate the bots and the garbage hits from the real people. But it's really tough to do so. So what I do, and I use Blueberry Stats, what I'll go through is every month I grab the total number of hits for each week. And then I also go through and I look at, I get all the hits for each different client for that particular week. Once I have all that information, I'll actually scrape out the browser listeners, because like I've got, what was it? I'll have to double check, because I've been several times within a month, I've had 500 hits from Internet Explorer. I don't think that many people are using Internet Explorer. That's just kind of one of those browsers that just, yeah, it comes automatically. And yeah, your grandma may still use Internet Explorer, but most people either use Firefox, Chrome, or Safari. And a lot of bots actually will return an Internet Explorer client tag, because when they ask, whenever someone asks for it, servers will actually respond with, well, what are you? And will ask for particular information. And so they get data, statistical data back and forth. And so they know that, hey, this is a Internet Explorer browser that's hitting, even though it might just be a bot that's looking for WordPress specific themes that have a specific, they may be somebody that's looking for mischievous reasons instead of being an actual person that wants to hit your site to come to see what type of information you provide them. And so you have I take the browsers out. Now I know a lot of people actually listen, because I'm seeing that people actually listen through the browser, through the desktop. And I've got several different ways, because I get people listening through Windows Media Player. And then I also get a couple that are listening through the Windows Media Center. Okay. I'm going to take those as being more of a real person just, and I know I'm sacrificing a good deal of my listeners because they are listening through Internet Explorer or listening through Chrome or listening through any of the other browsers. So I'll take all the browsers and remove those. And then a couple others like JavaScript. Yeah, I don't listen. I don't count that one. That might be an actual listener, but it's low enough that I'm not going to really concern myself over it because I want to have a good knowing solid base. And so, yeah, unfortunately, looking at that, I am sorry. I probably might accidentally scrape you out of the equation unless you use a podcast client like iTunes itself or iTunes podcast app. Or Pocket Cast or Dog Catcher or Overcast or any of those other types of podcast managers. With those, I'll take those all together, aggregate them as to a particular number for that month. And I use that as my base. I'll average that out. I'll find out what the average is for each of those weeks. And that is how many listeners I have on average. Does it change from month to month? Well, yeah, and it's going to. Some people come in, some people stop listening, some people do this. And so you're going to change. And that's one of the reasons why Feedburner swings is because they're doing an average. It's just they do an average so often that it swings from a high to a low to a high to a low. You'd figure after a little while it would steady out. But it's not an average over a long period of time. It's an average over that day. And so you get a really high number and a really low number and a medium number and another low number and an even lower number and then a really high number. And so that's why I don't say Feedburner is very reliable when it comes to actually listening or listing your stats and finding out how many people are actually truly quote unquote listening. Now, another statistical service out there is PodTrack, and they're actually a advertising agency, and so that's why they want to track. And so they do a decent job. I don't think they do as detailed of a job and as good of a job as what Libsyn and Blueberry do. And they are, when it comes to quality wise, I see Libsyn and Blueberry both being very neck and neck all the same. But Stitcher offers something a little bit different. Now, we've bashed on Stitcher a lot, but one thing Stitcher offers podcasters that no one else is able to do is they have their own listening environment. So they know, hey, this person started listening to you and they got 15 minutes, 39 seconds into the show and then turned it off. This person listened for 45 minutes of a 47 minute show. All right. You listen to pretty much all of it. I would qualify that as all of it. So you can find out because they have this environment. Yeah. The sound quality is going to be a debate forever, but at least, you know, hey, things are going up. Things are going down. People are listening. Almost all the people listen to almost 100% of episode 29. Wow, that's amazing. What was 29 again? And you can kind of look and you can reference that as to take that as a kind of a sample of, hey, I've got, you know, 500 listeners. There's 500 people downloading each day. And out of that, those listening through Stitcher, they're making about halfway through the show. Okay, well, what's happening halfway through the show? Well, that's when I stop giving the primary beans of information and I start talking about the gossipy stuff. Well, okay, people are dropping off. Or no one's listening, going past minute 5 of the podcast. Why is that? Well, they probably try swapping stuff around. Next week, try taking all the gossipy stuff that you normally do and swap it around and see if all of a sudden you start getting more listeners or people sticking around longer. Because it may just be that they don't want to hear the gossipy stuff, or they may be around just strictly for the gossipy stuff. If you swap it around and all of a sudden your numbers drop even further, then yeah, okay, let's go back to, you know, gossipy first. And I'm not saying everybody puts gossipy sessions in here, but you know, just as different segments, if a segment at first you don't think it's working because you got low numbers, then try something different. So you can correlate what's going on. You can helps you figure out and understand, hey, people are really listening to this particular episode, and the reason behind it is because of this, that, or the other. And so, yeah, Stitchers is a great service to use. Now, how to tell if they're listening? Well, like I said, using Stitcher helps you determine if they're listening. But also, this is my listening style, which I know is not everybody's, but I have a feeling a good portion of people do. I have a firm belief that most people who are listening through a podcatcher, that you're going to be their fan, and so they're going to pretty much listen to that whole episode. Maybe not all of it. They may, and I'm not, when I say listen to the whole episode, I'm not saying that, I'm not even going to separate out whether they listen to you at normal speed or at high speed. And I've gotten around to where I've started listening to almost all my podcasts at almost double speed. I can't quite do double speed. It gets, everything starts jumbling up a little too much. So I listen at about a 1.7, 1.8. And heck, it takes an hour show and knocks it down to almost to about 40 minutes. So it does a good job of trimming the excess fat off. That's for sure. And you start getting more and more information a lot faster. Now you may miss some of the nuances but it does for me, it causes me to really focus in on what the person's saying because, well, it's going by so fast. So, but this is when you get all your information together and you get it all compiled into spreadsheets or whatever it is, however it is you want to compile it, don't obsess over, well, why is this episode three downloads less than the previous one? Because it really doesn't matter. It might be that someone's Aunt Gladys got sick, and so they're not able to do anything. They missed that month because they were out in the middle of Minnesota or out in the middle of Montana, and there's no Wi-Fi or anything like that for 300 miles out of range of cellular service, the whole nine yards. And when they got back, all of a sudden they had, 150 shows they had. And so they kind of have to separate out and then going, well, I can't listen to it this run. Or they didn't have something, or they had something happen going on where they couldn't listen to it and they got behind. Well, they're going to kind of peel off the chuffa, so to speak. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that a person who downloads that show is going to listen to it, but I believe they're going to have a lot better chance of actually listening to it than if they didn't. So don't obsess over the minute fine details. Step back and do a 5x5. Step back 5 feet and wait 5 minutes and look at it and go, oh, but the number in all keeps climbing up. We've gone from having 35 listeners on our first month to now we have 3,800 listeners. Nice. That's sweet. We're going up. We're going, if you did, that's, we're in an upward direction. That's what you want to aim for. You want to look for that general upward slope, even if it's a almost horizontal, but you're still got, you could take a ball and set on it on that slope and it would still roll down. You know what? You're still growing, and that's good. Now you want to grow faster. That's a topic for another show, but at least you're growing. So you can use those stats. And I want to thank again, Vanessa again over at Zestology. That's Zestology. And, I've got a link to the podcast over at podcastdojo.com/034. And not much in the way of news or anything like that happening, but I will go, NMX went on this last week, and by the sound of it, there was great things. There was apparently, Norm Pattitz of Podcast One made a bit of a flub, or made a comment that really kind of ired a bunch of podcasters. in that they were saying, well, the podcast awards were really nice, but or made some comment about the podcast awards, or at least they made money. And a lot of people were stepping back and they were scratching their heads going, well, what in the world is that supposed to mean? And that's, I mean, I didn't get to make it and I would love to have made it. And I really should have, because this was where the small podcaster is rubbing elbows with the big broadcaster. And so it would have been something I'd love to, I wanted to go. I tried getting some money together, and with the oil field falling through like it did, it didn't happen. But I am going to actually make a conscious and concerted effort next year. I am going to be at NMX. I'm going to have business cards just being strewn everywhere. At least that's my dream. That's my goal. And we'll have to see how that goes when when it happens. So anyhow, folks, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let you go. I want to thank you very much for taking the time out of your very busy day as you commute to work or from work or going to grandma's house or wherever it is you're going. When you get to wherever it is you're going and you have a time, or if you're if you made it to where your destination and you're on the podcast app, go ahead and open it up. Leave a review. If you don't have it, or you're not at a, or if you're needing to leave a review a little bit later on, go to podcastdojo.com/review. Leave a review and let's help the community grow, because the more reviews I get, the more they'll show up on, the more Podcast Dojo will grow in the ranks and show up for other people to see. So I want to help you out. Let's get Podcast Dojo growing. I can't do it without you. Let your friends know. Let your family know. Post it up on Twitter. Go to podcastdojo.com/love and share the love. So, folks, thank you very much for listening. We'll talk to you next week. More than likely, hopefully, I do believe it'll be next week. I've already got a topic in mind. So, till then, go tell the world who you are.
This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.